So I'm looking today at the intersection between family violence exposure and military service among women in particular. Let's see, I have no relationships to disclose. I want to let you know that the funding for this project came from two sources in the VA. I have a VA Career Development Award, Health Services Research and Development, and also a pilot project grant that also funded this study. Oops, wrong direction. Okay. So interpersonal violence here, I'm talking about child maltreatment, abuse, and neglect, intimate partner violence in all its forms, and forced or coerced sex in adulthood in particular. Just to give you a brief little bit of background, women in the military. Currently, women make up about 14% of active duty military service people. Currently, women make up about 10% of veterans of the U.S. military in the United States. So we expect the proportion of veterans who are women to be going up, given that we have 14% active duty. So this is a rapidly growing population. And the research on women veterans is also rapidly growing in a pretty new field. We know a little bit about interpersonal violence exposure among women veterans, and what we know is that women veterans have higher rates of exposure of child maltreatment, intimate partner violence, adult sexual assault, including sexual assault in the military and sexual assault outside of the military, than do non-military, non-veteran women. So in this study, what we're looking at is the intersection between interpersonal violence exposure and military service. How do these things come together? Why do women veterans have higher rates of exposure of these kinds of violence? And to what extent is military service related to that or not? These data are based on a study that took place at the Philadelphia VA Medical Center, where a large, urban, academically affiliated medical center serving veterans in the Philadelphia region. The sample is women veteran patients who were between the ages of 22 and 64. So the eligibility criteria was 18 to 64, but the youngest women in our sample were 22. Which is not surprising because in order to be a veteran, you have to be out of the military, and women don't join the military until they're 17 or 18. The Philadelphia VA Medical Center has an independent women's health clinic, a comprehensive women's health clinic, and that's where we recruited our sample from and where we conducted our study. The study had two phases. In the first phase, we did quantitative questionnaires that we administered survey interview style. So face-to-face surveys with 249 women veteran patients. Among other things, we asked about experiences of violence, and particularly for intimate partner violence, we asked about whether they experienced intimate partner violence before joining the military, while they were in the military, and since leaving the military, so before, during, after military service. And then in the second phase of the study, we did qualitative in-depth interviews with 25 of the women who had participated in the first phase. So it's the same population of women. And here we asked more about their experience of violence and the intersections with military service, the reasons for joining and leaving the military, and the impact of violence and response to violence on their military service. This is our sample description. First is the full survey sample, and then the 25 women who came from that survey sample. So you can see their average age here is mid-40s. This is a primarily African-American population. There was, some college. Most were not employed. Many were not employed because they were on disability, often from military service. And then we looked at their current financial situation as they self-reported. So, the largest group said they have just enough to get by. Those who are not employed, if they have a service-connected disability as rated by the VA, they get some financial compensation because of that from the VA. So they have some income from that. So first, looking at the prevalence and timing of the violence exposure relative to their military service. terms of childhood violence exposure that is before the age of 18, 72% reported any experience of childhood abuse, and this was measured by psychological, physical, or sexual violence in childhood before the age of 18. Then we also looked at childhood exposure to intimate partner violence. 40% reported that their parents or adults in their home ever slapped, kicked, punched, or beat each other up. When we look at adulthood violence exposure, 39% reported that they had experienced been forced or coerced to have sexual contact with anyone since they were the age of 18. Then we looked at intimate partner violence. These questions are taken from the short form of the Conflict Tactics Scale, the revised version. So 86% reported any intimate partner violence. A large portion reported psychological violence. And you can see the numbers also for physical and sexual. So when we looked at the timing of intimate partner violence relative to their military service, you can see that the portions go up. So before serving in the military, 40.5% reported any experience of intimate partner violence before they joined the military. 60% reported that they experienced intimate partner violence while they were serving in the military, and 67% reported that they experienced intimate partner violence since leaving the military. Now, it's important to note that these time frames aren't uniform. So some people had been out of the military for 17 years. Some people had been out for 1 year. So it's not a uniform time, but you can see that it goes up at each time period. And if we look at the overlap of the time periods of when they experienced IPV, the largest group experienced intimate partner violence during all three time periods. So a third of them experienced intimate partner violence before they joined the military, while they were in the military, and after they joined the military, after they served in the military, I should say. Only 4.3% experienced intimate partner violence before they joined the military, but not ever again until the time that we had interviewed them. You can see the overlap in the time periods here. So then, in the qualitative interviews, we tried to elicit more information about how these things intersect. And so we'll look at some of these qualitative statements and then connect them all together. In terms of the intersection, we saw that experience of interpersonal violence had some effect on women's reasons for joining the military, had some impact on women's reasons for leaving the military, and then there was this intersection piece where dealing with exposure of interpersonal violence affected military employment, and military employment also affected dealing with exposure of intimate partner violence or interpersonal violence. So I'll go through each of these and give you some examples from our qualitative interviews. In terms of joining the military, some people talked about joining the military to escape violence at home. So it may have been escaping families of origin where there was a lot of violence going on or generally violent environments. It may have been escaping a violent partner, boyfriend. The military was a way to get away from that and have kind of a more secure, safer, more independent life. There were also people who talked about violence in childhood leading to a loss of resources from which they sought the military to fill. So, for example, one woman talked about the fact that because of violence in her family of origin, she was removed from her parents, she was placed into foster care. When she turned 18, she was out of foster care. She saw the military as the only way that she could get to college, the only way that she could get a good job and get more stability for her life. And that kind of family-like support that she didn't have, that she had lost because of violence in her family of origin. So that led her into joining the military. There were also people who talked about an abusive partner coercing them to join the military. So, for example, an abusive partner might coerce someone to join the military to get access to those benefits. So that was a way that violence led to joining the military. And we also looked at ways that violence led to leaving the military, often what we think of as leaving prematurely. And that we define that as leaving before someone hopes, expects, plans, or wants to leave the military. So violence, especially violence during military service, whether that's sexual assault that's part of an IPV context or not, or non-sexual intimate partner violence, can lead to things, as we know, like depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, substance use. That can impact functioning and lead to somebody leaving the military. Sometimes it was a medical discharge. Sometimes it was just having problems, maybe even a dishonorable discharge. There were also people who said that they left because of the military's response to their experience with violence. So this came up particularly in the experiences of what we call military sexual trauma, that's experience of sexual assault or harassment that occurs during military service. So one woman talked about the fact that she was sexually assaulted in the military. She was given no support. A lot of people talked about being given no support. And when her enlistment period was up, that was it. She was out of there as fast as she could get out of there, because the experience, not even so much from the sexual assault, but the aftermath of the sexual assault and how that was dealt with, just led her to leaving the military before she'd really planned or wanted to, which meant she lost all of those resources and opportunities that she got from being in the military. We also saw coercion by an intimate partner to leave the military service. So one woman who, she and her husband were both in the military, he wanted them both to get out. He was abusive. She said, you know what, he's abusive. I do what he tells me to do. I got out of the military. So the ways in which dealing with violence can impact employment when military is your employment. It's a quote from one woman who said, "They said because I'm not pressing charges against him, they didn't promote me to corporal. They told me he's lower ranking and he's not supposed to disrespect. I was too scared to press charges, and they didn't understand that. But to me, it wasn't worth it. The violence would get worse if I did press charges." She knew, and many of us know, that pressing charges can sometimes increase violence and increased risk. She was afraid of that. Her partner was also in the military. He was lower ranking than she was, and her military command said, "You're supposed to. He's not supposed to disrespect you. You're supposed to do things like report him and press charges against him. Because you're not doing that, we're not promoting you." Another woman said, "It wasn't easy, because to have to deal with the military in itself and to have to deal with an abusive spouse in the military can make things even worse and even harder, very stressful." So the military being like a total institution, it's not like in the civilian world where your employment can be somewhat separated from your personal life. Anything that happens off base gets reported on base. So there was those intersections that we don't see in the civilian world. And then another woman who was raped while she was serving on the ship in the Navy was not only blamed for the assault and accused of trying to get out of the Navy, but they didn't take her off of the ship to do evidence collection for her rape, so her perpetrator was not prosecuted because they didn't collect the evidence, because they wouldn't take her off the ship to do that evidence collection. This woman says, "Everybody says, you've been in the Marine Corps, you should have confidence. But it's what I went through in the Marine Corps. It knocked me down and it kept me down." So another way that it intersects is that people outside of the military in particular often think, "Oh, you've been in the military, you were in the Marines, you must be a strong woman. These things can't happen to you, or they shouldn't happen to you, or if they do happen to you, you should be able to deal with it." So that can also internally affect people, where they think, "Well, maybe I shouldn't need to get help for this, maybe I should be able to deal with this on my own, I'm in the military," but we know it doesn't really work that way. So we know that military service does not necessarily protect a woman from violence. Women are more likely to experience violence during military service and after military service. The fact that they're in the military or have been in the military does not make them invulnerable to experiencing interpersonal violence. There was one of the NISVIS reports that came out recently from CDC looked at violence among active duty military personnel compared to civilian. It's important to note that we can't apply that same those rates and that logic to veterans, because we know that veterans experience violence still after they get out of the military and at higher rates than people who are in the military. So we need to remember that veterans are also experiencing post-military violence exposure. We know that violence exposure can impact decisions to join and leave the military. And so the military can serve as a resource for women who are escaping violence, but then violence can also impede a woman's ability to serve and to continue to serve. Factors unique to military service, that intersection that doesn't necessarily happen in the civilian world, is very prominent for women serving in the military. And so the implications of this work are that the military and women serving in the military may need some more increased awareness of some of the nuances and the experiences of that intersection of violence and military service. Military certainly needs to understand the dynamics of violence better, and we need to understand the dynamics of military service better and how that intersects with violence. Talked about the fact that you can't necessarily apply what we know in the civilian world to the military world and what we know about active duty to the veteran experience. So we need to think about developing research and policies and practices that are specific to the needs of this unique population. As I said, it's a growing population. It's not a new population. And violence in this population isn't new. But as the numbers increase, we need to think about ways that we can better serve this population. And we can't just take what we use in the civilian world, because there are unique issues to this group. So I will stop there and put up my contact information in case you have further questions or contact.